You're listening to Q-Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, it is hour three on a Tuesday. Is this Tuesday? Still Tuesday, yep.
Tuesday.
2 minutes ago, I said it was Tuesday, and it still is. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy how that happened.
It is.
Mon ami.
Oh, we're still doing the French drinking word. Absolutely.
Oh, so, you know what? I was going to update Al earlier. I forgot. He was talking about Alexa Smith, and I thought I was about to say that she was in Company. But that wasn't it. I looked it up. She was in Follies.
Follies.
And she won a Tony for.
Yes. That was her. That was her big introduction to the 70s and how she got so much acclaim. So I just have one last thing to add on the 9/11 joy and happiness.
We can talk. We have a whole fucking hour to fill now.
We don't want to fill it with 9/11.
When we were there and the fence was up and all the things were up and there were literally people there. And I don't know if they were still there in December, but there were literally people there like as support. And I was standing next to a woman who was having a clear breakdown. Mm-hmm. And everyone was somber. It was sad. But something different was happening to her. And one of the huggers, the greeters, whatever they were, came up and the counselors and asked her. And she started to tell her story that she worked in Building 3, which I always get it wrong. I think that's whichever one was the hotel that the implosion of the buildings falling blew up the hotel in between. And it's the pieces of everything that fell that blew up. I think it was a Marriott. I never remember what hotel that was. And she couldn't recognize it. And she's like, I worked there. And they're like, when did you work there? She's like, I
work there now.
Like the only reason I don't work there right now is because it's gone. Yeah. But for some reason, she was either on holiday or something had kept her from work that week. And it was.
I love how you say she's on holiday.
Yeah.
So European.
That's French. It's almost French.
It really was. And my thing was, as I was watching all this happen and all these the tribute, all the handwritten things on the walls and the teddy bears, and I'll stick to it to this day, said that the Princess Diana thing was kind of like the world training for how to like grieve as a nation or as a global society. Like we had like one little dress rehearsal to find out like how everybody grieves together and leaves their tributes in places, because I just kept thinking like this is strangely reminiscent of Princess Diana and all the embassies getting flowers and the people like the tributes and stuff. I'm like, it had that feel to it of like, well, at least we had a little taste of how to do this. Cause I don't know if as a nation, if as a crowd, we could have all grieved appropriately. And that first, like, I can't remember like when in October I was there the first time. Cause I went back for Halloween, but I was there earlier as well. Anytime a fire truck went by, it didn't matter what you were doing. Everyone stopped and applauded.
Sure.
And it was. I love that. It was so powerful. You saw a fire truck or a fireman, and you just stopped what you were doing and you applauded.
Sure.
And that was amazing.
Yeah, I remember.
I did get producer's tickets out of it, though, so I will tell you that.
Silver lining.
Silver lining.
I remember when we were walking that the same thing. Like, we came around the corner, and here were all these pictures, and we didn't realize where we were either. You know, we're just walking, and all of a sudden, I look to the right, and here's this wall of, have you seen my daddy, and have you seen my mommy, and... You know, I miss you, honey, if this is you. And the person that I was with just kept walking, and I was mesmerized. I just stood there, and I stared at all this stuff. And tears were just flying
out of my eyes. I recognized the people so much from seeing their faces on the news that I actually was like, oh, I know that. I knew the faces from seeing the pictures on TV and the people standing there holding up the signs.
You already felt
the
connection.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I've seen your... But I've only seen
your picture.
Your father's picture. Yeah. And it was, that was hard.
And it was like 3 months later that we were 2 months from when you were there. So now they're kind of torn and tattered a little bit.
Yeah, and it got,
I mean, where you're just sitting there. And the one thing, though, that I just thought was fantastic, there were little helmets, like, that you could go to the dollar store, you know, party place. And the little fireman helmets, you know, those plastic.
Uh-huh.
And they were up there, and then they'd have candles, and they had little mementos, the pictures, like in frames, aside from whatever they had up there. And they still weren't touched.
Yeah.
3 months later, they still were not touched. They were in fairly good repair, and the candles were still lit, and people would go along, and if they were unlit, people would light them back up. But you think after that amount of time and how destructive our society can be and how thoughtless people are of going to, it was almost like that was just sacred.
Oh, but you'd still see people my picture with this behind me.
Mm-hmm. See, now, and I did not see that. I would have lost my shit about
I don't
that.
Know how to react to like people that take pictures of every fucking thing. I never know what to do with that because I don't, I just
do you mean and be in them? Because I can explain. I took some pictures of it.
Right. But to like, get about, my picture in front
of
this.
No.
Like,
look at how neat, I'm here.
Can I just buy a postcard?
Right.
But the second time I was there that month, One Liberty opened.
Okay.
And
I don't know what that is.
One Liberty is the building at One Liberty Street or Liberty Avenue. It's the big. There's one tall building that's the Marriott, and then in its shadow is One Liberty. And a lot of times it looks like it's the same building, depending on where they're shooting, where the film is. One Liberty and that glass Marriott or Hilton, whatever it is, look like the same building.
Okay.
Well, One Liberty opened. They decided it was secure. You could go back in. This was all these weeks later. It was structurally sound. They opened up everything in the lobby. The Starbucks was open. The people went up, realized they were looking at a mass grave, and they came back down, and no one stayed at work.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't even think about that when you were saying that.
So we go in and we were just walking around. Our goal was really not anywhere but just to like just walk and kind of take it all in. And like I said, it was in honor of my father because my father would have wanted to see it. He would have wanted to pay his tributes to it. So I thought in his honor, even though I found it horribly uncomfortable and I don't like anything that sad unless it's on TV. Real life that sad. I have no, like, yeah. I just can't, I don't cope with it very well because right. I cry over your hat.
Right.
So we go into the Starbucks and I'm like, this is the, like, wow, no line. And the guy's like, yeah, everybody left. They're like, this is a really depressing place to be today. And I'm like, well, why? A Starbucks with no line? This is like the happiest find on earth. And he's like, oh, because you're looking at a mass grave. Everybody's gone. Yeah. So it was like the Starbucks people and the two security guards, like cappuccino.
Cappuccino, no.
And it was just such a strange day. And then like my friend Gina, who lives down there, and she's very against going. And we went to lunch a couple days after Matt and I had gone. And she was like totally against going. And I had just told her like my reasons for wanting to see it. And she's like, let's walk.
Okay.
And we just walked down and we got as close as she was able to. Sure. She worked in finance, not in the trade center, but
area.
Yeah, in the field, knew what, and it just such a strange feeling. Like everything about it was just
surreal.
It was smoky, like, and there was people like trying to clean the buildings.
Yeah, but you couldn't breathe. I mean, you couldn't have been able to breathe.
No.
Month and some later. 3 months later, when we're walking, and we are avoiding it at all costs. We were avoiding it at all costs. We didn't know where the fuck we were.
Right.
And we're just walking and walking. I had been on top of one of the trade towers in 91. And I have a picture of me with the trade tower behind it.
I had never gone to the top, and I always regret that. I always blew it off as, the next time I'll go up to the top.
Yeah. No, I have a picture with me and actually the sperm donor up there, and one of my brothers, Frankie. And the other tower is behind us, and it's kind of cool. Bad hair, but it was kind of cool.
Mullet? Was it a mullet?
Curly.
Okay.
And but as we're walking, 3 months later, all of a sudden I was, you're you're trying to clear your throat, and what is that? And we were down by the water. We were actually quite a ways away.
But you're really not, because the island is very small.
Right.
It's only 11 miles long.
Couldn't get that out of my throat, and the person I'm with has asthma and started kind of reacting, and sorry, there's a moth.
oddly, we have a moth in the studio. Yeah.
What is that? And couldn't figure out why we were reacting. And I was like, let's go this way. And we came around the corner, and that's where you had this kind of clear view, still far away, but that clear view of what looked like the Colosseum. You remember those pictures?
Yeah,
of how
the pillars.
Kind of
where the sides were still.
Yeah. And I just, it was just where you just stop and you're like, oh my God. And, over here is the Statue of Liberty, and over there is where the trade towers were.
The upside is you get a
very,
the view of the Woolworth building is now unobscured.
And unobscured, yes.
Does anyone have another topic?
I this is something.
Actually, I have a question related to this. Would you want to wrap up what you're doing?
Yeah, just one quick thing. The eerie thing that we saw, and this was just a few weeks later, but we passed by a Hallmark store. Mm-hmm. Listeners, have yourself identified. May remember those as card stores.
Not e-cards, actual cards in mail.
A Hallmark store on Broadway, really, really lower Broadway, almost to the towers. And it obviously had been a refuge for people that had gone in from the debris as the towers fell. And it looked like a war zone in there. Mm-hmm. And it was just card strewn. And I want to say Rosh Hashanah would have been the holiday, the card holiday nearby. Mm-hmm. But just blown.
And Grandparents' Day.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. True.
Just blown out. And it would just sit there. Everything around it had opened. I don't know what happened to the owners of this Hallmark shop that they were not there to open their business to clean it up. And it just stood there as like
a time capsule.
Yeah.
With like these blown out cards.
I think I saw that on the news. I think I saw that very store on the news. They were talking about that because there was that and there was a clothing store. There was like a jean store that was somewhere in the area. And everything was on the shelf, folded, but it was all layered with dust.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They had talked about that very thing.
Yeah. So we just stood in front of, and I think that's when we realized that the path we were walking, where it was leading, because we really had no, when Matt and I went, we had no plan.
Right.
Like we knew where we were going, but we hadn't verbalized it. We had kind of like, it was a silent pact. But when we saw that, we just kind of stood there and thought, where are these people?
Yeah.
Sure. Here's my question in reference to this, and this is my first day
with
my new mouth or the last day with the old mouth. By no means is this meant to be disrespectful, but it was brought up today on various media about the fact of when is it, like, for example, the entire world doesn't stop for D-Day. We don't stop for Pearl Harbor.
Right.
What's the time frame? Because they were talking about the fact that 10 years.
But they did. They did stop for D-Day for a very long time.
No, I understand. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying, okay, they're making references.
Not D-Day, but Pearl Harbor. Right.
They were making references to, they noted the very big change in participants in year 11 as opposed to year 10.
It's like it was much more
they were talking about 10 years is they think 10 years is it. And like, for example, the Today Show this morning did not do a moment of silence.
Well, no, but now it'll be 20. Now you'll go in the same increments as important birthdays. Like the 43rd anniversary, like your birthday,
like my birthday.
Of 9/11
no, 45,
is not
45 is more important than 43.
Right.
50 is more important than 45.
Now it'll go to like landmarks.
Right.
Or like the children born, graduate, whatever year the
I'm with you there.
The children born after that the parents
or the
died.
Day of.
Or, clearly the dad died because the mom couldn't have. Maybe. But the children of 9/11, those births, I think that year, the 18th year, there's going to be something, probably something then about graduation from high school.
Well, I just heard something today on the radio that I thought it made sense. It makes sense to me. And again. I'm not forgetting. I personally did not know anybody in a tower, any affected or whatever. I know people in New York, and obviously you and Matt, and I know a lot of people that
the
are
creators
in the
creators of Frasier, one of the the main producers of Frasier.
Right. So
because we always bring the show back to Frasier.
So there's a radio reference. It was just the comment of life does go on, and you can't live in that past. And so many people are that you can't just keep going back and going back and going back because people have been born. These people who lost people now have grandchildren. Life goes on. These kids don't know about this. So September 11th, though, is a Memorial Day. They have to go to school. They have to go to daycare. They have to take care of them.
I don't think they should have to go to school. I think that it should be a holiday. The Patriots Day or whatever you want to call it or Fallen American Day. Like they need to make it a holiday.
I tend to agree with that. I'd have to hear what an argument could be against it, but I would tend to agree with that.
I mean, that is the Pearl Harbor is not it's an American territory. It's the start of a war as an actual act of aggression against a military base.
Right.
This
attack
and,
on our
mainland.
You have the most self-centered generation in history having it happen to, so it ain't going nowhere. Right.
I asked Erin about
that. These are people
that
everybody wants a reality show.
Yeah, right. I asked Erin about that because she's teaching sixth grade social studies and language arts. But the social studies part, I thought, I wonder how she's going to do that today.
They still call it social studies?
Yeah, yeah, they do. I thought that was weird too. But I really did. I was like, but I said, all of a sudden it dawned on me, because I'm not very good at remembering how old I was in sixth grade. And I thought, these kids were just being born.
Yeah, they're about 12.
Yeah,
my niece 11, is 12. About to turn 7, and I was thinking about today, I'm like, what has either her parents or her teachers told her about today?
Yeah, right, what do you?
I don't know.
How do you go into that? Because it intrigued me, because it's a world that for us the same thing.
It's almost
that post JFK kind of thing,
or even Vietnam. Because I certainly don't remember my father being there. I was born after he came back, and I always heard about it afterwards. So it's like something that happened.
More toward the end of us with our ages. I mean, it was starting to kind of filter off,
right?
You know, at that point, with Vietnam.
And an interesting, just kind of a weird tie together of everything. With the Vietnam War protesters and all that stuff ending, when the war ended, they didn't know what to do with that feeling. What's wrong?
You didn't eat your peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, my God. Hour three and you haven't eaten one.
I actually thought he was making it up that he had one.
So there's that commonality of the... What do the Vietnam War protesters do when you win the fight? What do the AIDS protesters do when there's light at the end of the tunnel and it's now
there's funding,
a predominantly
and there's,
unmanageable disease? Right. Like where does this fight go? Like where do we put this? Like, if you know, there was no real protest to Iraq, we kind of went blindly into that dark night. But
what
what do you do with that energy? So you're asking about, like, okay, 9/11 happened, we're remembering. What do you do with that energy? Like, how do you express to someone? And we are always talking about oral histories with gay stuff, and getting so here's an oral history that's very important, especially since we were talking, they started changing the news while we were watching it. They were already editing things out, pulling back.
You're right.
Like the jumpers became, they fell, you know, they all of a sudden, oh fuck, well, I guess we're just going to go there. Have you seen the documentary, The Jumper? No. I always call it The Jumper. That's so terrible. Falling Man.
No.
Documentary. It's been on the Learning Channel all week. I rented it a few years ago.
Falling Man.
It's called Falling Man. And it's because there was a guy downtown that was taking pictures.
I heard about it.
And he took this very... I don't want to say beautiful, but very, like,
the upside
evocative.
Down
yeah, the yeah. evocative picture of the guy upside down, and he looks so at peace.
Ugh. Gives me the chills.
Yeah, and so they ran the picture. They got a lot of negative feedback about running the picture. They pulled the picture. It wasn't shown for years, and then there, according to the coroner's reports, of there was no jumpers.
Yeah.
The coroners got rid of any of that because that could be considered suicide. So this falling man, they think they have an identity on him. They go to the family. These documentarians go to the family, present them with their case. They're horrified.
Yeah.
They're Catholic.
Yep.
They're like, our father would not leave us.
He committed suicide.
They can't accept a suicide. Like, he didn't commit suicide. He just made a choice to, like, of a different death, like one more horrible than the next, but you have to face your fear. They were, and when you watch it, you just, there's such a profundity of their religion that's what's bothering them, is that their father gave up. He didn't fight till he died. Like, he may have made his peace with death. And you can't judge them on it because it's their father, it's their feelings, it's how they want to remember him.
He just chose the lesser of two evils.
Right.
But so when they realize, based on, like, clothing choices and, like, what job he had and what he was wearing,
where he would have been, and
it wasn't him, and they make an identification. Oh. They kind of narrow down someone else, and the family is so relieved. Their father's not alive.
They don't know.
No one is saved in the story, but just because of their religion, their beliefs, their strength, that they thought their father would fight. They didn't want to hear that, and I'm like, he made his own, like, I couldn't take it in with my worldview, with their worldview, but I couldn't judge them. But at the same time, I didn't understand it. And it's a fascinating documentary, and they talk about the cameras turning. And I think for the 10-year anniversary, someone showed, like, maybe CNN has, like, a stepchild network where they showed the actual coverage of the day, and I wanted ABC and NBC to do it. I wanted to see the real frivolity of the Today Show that day as the world went wrong.
Well, as I'm driving into work this morning, KTAR, I guess, I don't know, there was a news story that the Today Show was rerunning its entire show from that morning. And then later on in the evening, that's when I hear, oh, they were talking to Kris Jenner at the, you know, that whole little controversy about they didn't observe the moment of silence.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, the Today Show, were they going to do it? And they didn't. I don't understand. But back to your point about, you know, when does it end? When I first heard that story about, oh, the Today Show for the first time in 11 years, they were interviewing a faux celebrity at the time when every other network is observing the moment of silence.
Yeah.
Right.
And at first you're like, oh man, how could they do that? But then you're like, someone on the radio actually said it. I wish I could take credit for it. He said, the Today Show is setting the trend that now is when we don't observe the moment of silence every year because, you know, you just don't after a certain amount of years.
Right, so, right. And I can't remember, but Renee's point about, because he worked for American Airlines, they went back, and then if you remember, a couple months later, there was the Jamaica crash, the American Airlines in Jamaica Bay, where they had got caught in the wake of the next plane. So when Renee went back to work, very, very stressed out, very upset about it, went back to work, and it went from make sure your cell phones are off to does everyone have a cell phone? Show me your cell phone. Turn it on. Be ready to call for help.
Like, right.
The first week they were like, can everyone please be ready to make a phone call? Oh, God, there was something. Anyways, I'll think about that.
So how about that Holocaust?
That wasn't a bad pun, but that was a nice transition.
That was a nice transition. So I hear it affected a lot of people.
Back to Anne Frank, though.
Yeah.
Full circle. Full circle.
But what were you, I just want to get, there was one last thing. What were you just, it was the rebroadcast.
Well, there was Chris word Jenner. That the Today Show was going to rebroadcast their entire show from that morning. As it happened.
The funny thing is, until you just mention it now, I never thought about the fact that you're right. There's an East Coast feed that we see on a rebroadcast, but we never saw it. Was never broadcast in Mountain or Pacific.
No, because it happened.
It exists. It's there, but I.
So
I
we don't know if someone was making a bunk cake and you know.
Right, like how did that? Because we cut in live, so now you see it. And I remember switching from ABC to CNN, and I found Ashley Banfield, who I thought this bitch is crazy. She is way too close. She is way too everything. I think her cameraman producer was also her boyfriend, or they became engaged later that same day.
Oh yeah.
But she was like down way too close when the first building fell.
And oh, she's like standing
like,
on the.
I'm not sure what's going to happen, but she was one of the ones that she was running for her life with that cameraman like on her, and somebody pulled them into an alcove of a building and shut the door, and she was reporting in the darkness because there was no more light. The camera was all fucked up, and she was talking. And then they didn't really care for her, so they shipped her off to Afghanistan. But just to me, it's just. That oral history is so important to get that out of what really happened. And
I need to Google it right quick. There was a story that came out today, and Buddy, because you listen to talk radio as I do often, there was something about something surfer. It's the story of the guy who lived, who was on the top, like one of the very top floors, and rode the crash down. Went unconscious, woke up, and all I saw was sky. He surfed it down, but
he didn't ride from the very top. He rode from like the 20th floor. There's a movie about him.
Is this the same one?
I don't know. Because I had to get out of the car before they got to the story. They were talking about it, but I got the gist of what it was. I really wanted to know more about that, though.
I want to say he was from like the 20th floor of the stair. He was in the stairwell and rode it down.
But how are you going to ride from the 20th floor and not have any rubble on top of you? That it seems like you should be higher than that.
It was. Let's.
I mean, I'm looking to see if I can find it. But yeah, that doesn't make. But anyway, the story. And I guess the story had kind of been hidden all these years. They'd not talked about that because everybody was like, "Yeah, right, bullshit, whatever. This is a fake story." And then come to find out that he really did ride into kind of an air pocket or some sort of an area, and he rode all the way down and then was unconscious for a while and then came to. I can't recall what it is. Did you hear about that, Marnie?
Which one, hon?
Something about, they call it, it's a surfer. It's something surfer and surf debris.
Here it is. NBC. 11
you
years
look
ago,
something up?
Pasquale Vizzelli.
That's the name.
Somehow survived the September 11th attacks.
Right.
When he rode a wave of debris falling nearly 20 stories inside the collapsing North Tower of the World Trade Center.
Wow.
For more than a decade, he did not talk in depth about his story, but until coming to grips with the events of the day. And it was on Discovery, last week.
Right. That's what I heard. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no. It's on tonight. It's on tonight at 8 o'clock.
Last night. Oh, it's already over.
Wow, I had not heard.
Yeah,
that.
I heard that. But what I'm trying to figure out is, if you're on the how many floors was the 20, was it tower?
And
somehow he got to the 22nd floor, the building began to collapse, and he somehow rode a blizzard of debris to the rubble of what used to be stairway B on the fourth floor, and that group of firefighters that they made the movie about were the only survivors. They were the only people they found in the rubble.
What about that? There was that woman. Did you just say that or did I miss it? Remember the woman with the white? I have a picture of that.
The one that burned?
No. She was getting there and she was late, something, and she walked in and everything kind of imploded and she was just covered with the ash. And it's a
right.
Huge.
And the one thing that they never show pictures of, from what I understand, the Frenchman that did the documentary that CBS played,
okay,
which is a fantastic documentary, it's one of the reasons I keep my VCR. They turned around when the woman came out of the burning elevator on fire. Oh. I guess there is a lot of film of her.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Everyone had their cameras trained on her, and absolutely everyone has kept radio silence on that. No one has ever released the pictures of that woman coming from the opening elevator doors where the jet fuel came down the thing.
And
she walked out on fire. And they put her out, and she's known as she was the only one that made it to the hospital. Like, the St. Vincent's was ready. God, I hope St. Vincent's is right. I think that's the hospital that used to be down there.
So did she make it?
Yeah, she lived. She lived. And they interview her quite often, but no one will show the picture
of her.
But the Frenchmen have it on their documentary. And the ones that have the only picture of the plane hitting
because they were there filming a documentary, right?
And they went down the street, and they didn't know they lived. If you've ever seen that, it's a fantastic documentary where they get separated and they don't know that they lived, but they kept the camera on through the whole day as everyone from that firehouse comes through the door separately, and they've all made their peace that everyone that's not there must be dead, and the one brother. The last one to come through the door is the other documentarian, and he walks through the door and have you not seen this?
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, they played it on.
But I remember
they
the story
it on
of
CBS. I want to say they finally released it like a year later, but it's where that the only film,
the live shot of the plane.
That's their documentary,
right.
And they have because they went right with the first responders into the North Tower. So that's all the documentary where the building you can hear the popping noise of the body and just. It's a very moving, very powerful, and they were with Rudy Giuliani escaping. The one brother escapes with Rudy Giuliani through, because the command center was in Tower 1.
Mm.
So as they're escaping, they're running with him, and all of that is captured on film from these two French guys.
Wow.
Mm.
It's an amazing documentary. Amazing.
I just remember, I don't think I've seen it. I think I've seen clips of it, but I remember hearing about it because I knew that they were there because they're the ones that got that shot of the second plane.
And again, listeners, documentaries, 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 documentaries.
I love documentaries. All the more reason for Discovery Channel. Even like how things are made, how they do that, all those things. I love those documentaries.
And when they're like
Modern Marvel,
all that Modern Marvel,
bigger, all those shit. All
oh,
that
what about the Hoover Dam?
What's the building of Modern Marvel? Is that a TV show?
It's on Discovery.
It's
just.
That's where they do the entire thing of how they built like the Hoover Dam. It's Modern Marvels.
Okay.
It's like
and the Hoover Dam because it would still be drying today. Okay. The original concept was to put a mold up, pour the cement, and then someone did the math of how long it would take
to
dry the cement. So they did it in blocks at a time of cement.
Okay.
And who the mathematician that figured out how to dry the cement?
If you can find it as like a box set or something, because I haven't seen it. being aired any time in the last 6 months or so. There's a series called We Built This City. Okay. And they do New York, London, Paris. I think Miami is a city I've seen. Not a whole lot.
But Miami is a city. That is true.
No,
I've heard of it.
As part of the series, where they show you, hey, how did this city get to be what it is? And they're fascinating.
Yeah. You know, I've seen the one on New York.
Going back to New York, what I'm trying to figure out is...
Because I love the art. The other thing is I love the architecture. And those were the two most...
Two sandwiches, buddy? You have two sandwiches.
Always. He always brings two sandwiches.
Those were the two most maligned pieces of architecture in modern history. They were hated for, like, they were considered cold. No one liked them. They were like albatrosses on the lower Manhattan. They blocked the Woolworth building. They were not beloved buildings in New York.
The question, and I've seen it on the new, like, I've seen several reports on it, because they're building some new subway line right now.
In New York?
Yes. They're undermining, like, building, because the complaint has been that the people are like, literally, can we get the construction to stop? Like, because overnights, they're still blasting.
Yeah,
they're still
that's the Falling Man.
That's the picture.
They're blasting. They're doing construction all underground, building some new line. Because they just did a thing on Discovery Channel about it. They did a thing on NBC News. But I don't know where it is, but I know if maybe in the past few times you've been in New York, if you've known of this or if you've experienced.
No. Because
apparently they show the streets where, like, there's a ton of construction blockades and shit, because underneath where you are is all this construction.
That's every city. Like, when you go there in the summer, like, everything's all torn down. But the four – and I always say this about – When you go to New York and you go to – and I love Central Park and I like Writers. I think it's called Writers Row or wherever. And did I just say that? It's like rah, 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 rah. Writers Row.
Thank you, Scooby.
And rah, so, rah, rah, rah. So here in the middle of Central Park is – and I always look at – like, whenever I see a statue, I always want to read the plaque for the statue. I want to know when it was erected. How did we get here? What brought this? Which is why you never want to go on a walk with me, because it'll take you 10 years to get anywhere, because I read every fucking... It's like a dog peeing.
Which is also why he moved to Phoenix, because he was at the wrong statue reading a plaque and he missed
a
guy.
Right, we talked about that.
Right.
So you stand there and you look at the there's a statue to Shakespeare in the middle of Central Park that's erected in like 1850-something. I'm like, okay, the rest of the world is trying to figure out plumbing and how to not shit outside anymore. And New Yorkers have built this beautiful oasis in the middle of shitstorm.
Right.
You know, back in the – I think up until last week, sailors at sea would say in the summer you could smell New York from like 30 miles out because it was just a stench of rot. But here they are building, you know, statues to – foreign writers on writers. Right? It's very strange. But the subway system, think of the planning involved with everything in lower Manhattan is reclaimed land. All of that is built. That's all built in. All that is all the waste from the other part of Manhattan brought down and dumped there. You're pretty much living on garbage.
Right. They've drudged it all up and they've packed it in and they've built shit on it.
But no, and underneath it and through it. Like, those subways go everywhere.
That's why I'm amazed
at
this.
It's a modern marvel.
It really, I mean... No, when you think about a city like New York, which is the prime example, but you take other American cities like Boston, San Francisco, even Los Angeles, when you think about their brilliant infrastructure and how we suck in Phoenix. Come on.
Right.
Let's admit it. We can't stand to have a street closed for a weekend or we are all bitching. Oh, what are they doing now? I mean, we can't do anything here. People don't like it. We don't support public art. We don't support any kind of betterment that doesn't affect our pocketbook. Like, how am I going to get rich from this?
Right.
You know, whereas...
Well, Phoenix has never had to deal with it.
Look at New York City and the brilliant infrastructure that they have with the subways.
And they had the plan from the very beginning
They built Central Park. That's not a park. They built it. That's not like wetlands.
Right.
They built Central Park.
Yeah, someone said, why don't we have a preserve in the middle of this island of shit? That's green and lovely to forget about the filth running through.
There was no grass there. It was like rock and junk, and they built a park, the greatest park in the world.
And a beautiful lake and like
and put a statue
place for gay
of William Shakespeare.
There's that.
Every city needs that. Just when you think about what you were talking about, how what's really under Manhattan, and they built a subway system there. That's amazing.
Well, part of I'm sure I could find a documentary and I could find stuff online that would tell me more about it. What I'm amazed at is they're carving out and drilling a tube under the city that's already there. Buildings, all this shit is up.
Right.
And they're tunneling out underneath
kind
all this
of
shit.
The, kind of more at the same time. Like, you can check my math on that, but I'm like, the buildings are getting bigger while they're tunneling underneath, kind of simultaneously. Like,
but the fact that their buildings are already there, right, and they're doing it now. They're building some new line.
Oh, right.
Well,
right,
L.A.
Right.
That's what's
it.
Crazy.
L.A. did it. You know, however many, how old is their subway now? Not
they
not
have subways? They L.A. has subways?
80s, yeah. Late 80s, early 90s.
I didn't know that.
I want to say sometime in
you're
the 90s.
You're talking about like the BART thing, are you?
No, that's Cisco.
No, L.A. I want to say sometime in the 90s was when they started with their subway system. And this is an already established city, clearly. And they're building subways, and I think they're going to grow them in L.A.
I didn't know L.A. had subways. That's kind of funny.
What goes from San Francisco down the coast? The BART. Okay. So
yeah, you can take...
But the BART really goes from like Oakland to San...
Right.
But I mean, San Francisco...
I thought it went...
But you can take... I didn't know this before, but you can catch the subway at LAX and take it to like Hollywood and Vine.
Okay. Wow.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Interesting.
And they did that... They retrofitted that bullshit.
How do you mean that?
Well, the city was already in existence in the 80s.
No. Right. But I mean, New York is already in existence too.
No, but like I was saying, like the subways in New York, and really, if you really want a history of it, it's written on the walls of the subway store. Like, honest to God, if you want an accurate history, that wallpaper at Subway, because again, something I read will tell you what you. And I want to like. All right, we got to. I'll Google.
Al's point was that subways were being built at the same time that New York was growing, so it was happening simultaneously.
Right.
Whereas in LA,
It was an established city already done.
Let's go under the city and build a subway now. I mean, crazy shit.
Right,
yeah,
which is what we would have to do here in Arizona, you know.
Right.
And I always say, unless you use the canals, your only other hope is to utilize the canals and put your trains along the already existing.
What about the idea of above?
Well they talked about that for the light rail.
Because remember, in the L in Chicago, not particularly attractive.
No.
Okay.
When the train comes up out of the subway, when you're like if you're taking it to JFK. When you go above ground, those are not...
No.
It's not pretty. That's
beautiful
true.
Things don't happen near an elevated train.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair.
But the original concept of the light rail in Phoenix was all elevated. It was a monorail.
Right.
It was if I'm not mistaken.
And monorail sounds very glamorous.
It does.
And it's only glamorous if it's at Disney World or Land.
Right.
Because that works.
Then it works.
Right.
Absolutely.
But it would be it would have been wonderful if they could have done it here because they wouldn't have had to interrupt all the shit they interrupted. But there was a... I don't know how the cost would have been more, but I think the cost was one of the issues. There was
to not be on monorail?
There was a million issues, I'm sure.
You mean locally in Phoenix?
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
The cost was cited as a big issue. The upfront cost would have been much greater.
I don't know how the upfront cost could have been greater.
That's just, I don't
because
know
because they
how.
Uprooted it. They uprooted the entire Central from Camelback to...
Remember that? Remember how pissed people
crazy.
Were when that was going
on? Oh, my God. I live at Central and Camelback. I dealt with both sides of it.
Yeah,
because I never knew which way I could enter or exit my neighborhood because of that.
Are you ready for this?
What? Yes.
The first railroad operation in 1863, so that kind of goes along with the railroads. God bless the Chinese. The elevated operation started in 1868, and the subway, the first section of the subway started in 1904. I thought it was 1908.
And this is in
New York City.
Okay.
So, and your first, as far as I know, and... Please correct me, anybody that listens to this later. I always want to say the Flatiron Building is the first skyscraper.
Flatiron Building.
And you'll know it. It's the one at Fifth Avenue.
Is it the corner?
Yeah, the corner building. That's that.
Isn't that the one that's in Straight Talk with Dolly Parton?
You just pick a movie and the flat. It's one of those when you need an establishing shot and it's usually done in shows that
you
aren't
saw
filmed
a lot
in
Friends.
New York. Right. You do it when, like, Friends, Will and Grace that aren't filmed in New York and you need to establish.
We're in New York.
We're in New York. And it used to be the establishing shot was the World Trade Center because that was so quickly defined. Where the Flatiron Building, we could all be like, where is that exactly?
Why is it called the Flatiron Building? Because clearly back in 19... Blah, blah, blah,
it
they
is
weren't
at
making
175 Fifth Avenue and is considered to be a groundbreaking skyscraper built in 1902.
Okay. Because they weren't flat ironing hair back then, so I knew it wasn't that. Just guessing.
Are you looking it up, Al?
Yeah, that and the MetLife building are the first two ones.
Gotcha.
Okay, so keep talking. Oh, the neighborhood around it is called the Flatiron District after its... Oh, wait.
We're going to learn something. Al's Googling shit. We're going to learn something here on Q-Talk America at 9:47 and 15 seconds, according to the atomic clock.
Did you hear that?
What?
Hell just froze over.
What?
Because he's looking
shit
up.
Oh, he's Googling shit, right.
Yeah,
himself.
While Al is looking that up, I have some statistics on the Metro Rail,
nice.
Which is Los Angeles
LA, right.
Subway.
Now, question, before you go into your stats, does the subway, because you know, like when you're rolling on the 10 and you're driving somewhere, mm-hmm. there's the Metro Link. Do those trains go subterranean? Are those the same things? Or
you know what? They might be. They might be.
Okay, go ahead.
And I know I did take the subway once when I was in L.A. Maybe about 8 or 10 years ago.
If you're listening to this on a download, please email us and let us know what the fuck is going on in L.A.
No, but I did take it from the Hollywood area to, gosh, I don't even remember where, but we did take it. It began operation in 1990. It currently has 80 stations. Daily ridership 360,000. So that's, I mean, and there are 6 different lines that
so
I did not
weird.
Know.
Because
I think when I took it back in, like again, about 10 years ago, I think there may have only been one line at that time. And now it's really extensive, which for a place like Los Angeles, which is a lot like Phoenix, that says a lot because it's not a place where you can get on and off and you just have to walk a few blocks. You just can't do that in a sprawling
sure.
place. Right. Like this. That's what cities like New York and Boston and San Francisco have as an advantage is the subway can get you anywhere pretty much unless it's an outlying burb and they don't go there. But anywhere you want to go from one point in the city to the other, you walk a few blocks to get on the subway. You go to your stop. You walk a few blocks from there to get to where you're going. You can't have that in Phoenix. You can't have a subway system or a light rail going down every major
no
street.
Right.
So it's a testament to LA that they have committed to this because I can imagine all those Orange County people bitching about you know their taxes supporting this when they just want to drive their cars.
Well, that's the whole thing about in New York State, everyone in Western New York, where I'm from, bitches about they pay all these taxes, but all the tax money gets funneled into New York City.
Into the city.
Mm. But again, there's 8 million people in
the city.
No, I think they're up to 11 million people or something crazy in New York City. And the rest of the state has like 6 people.
and a couple of them are your sisters.
All right. The Flatiron Building used to be called the Fuller Building. And it is the shape because it resemblance to a cast iron clothes building that it became like colloquially known as. That might be French. the flat iron building, and then it became the Flatiron District. Like everything came from that.
So, because it's built like an iron, from an aerial shot, it looks like sure. an iron. Is that my guess?
Well, they didn't have airplanes yet.
So I understand, but I'm saying is
no,
it was
yeah,
it shaped
does.
Like an iron, so it's right. a flat sure. iron.
But yeah, again, it was the tallest building, so no one was above this to get. There's no
wow.
aerial shots of this. This was the tallest. O2,
you said O2, right?
O2, yeah.
Wow.
This is the tallest building in the area, so there was no aerial shots of it. You just had to guess what was up there.
We'll call it the Flatiron,
and the bets were taken as to how far the debris field would be when the wind blew it down. Isn't that funny?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because no one believed it would stand.
Stand.
Because it's Broadway, Broadway and Fifth Avenue split.
Right, split, right.
And it's beautiful. And it's just, if you go there, it's just fun to walk around, like find the Will and Grace building with the guy.
Right.
The guy sure. in the front where Grace's office building is. I didn't know that was real till the day I was like, well, look at that. There's Grace's office building.
Oh, I've never seen
it. You know, it's got the man on the front.
Apparently, I didn't pay enough attention to Will and Grace.
Interesting. Just one last thing about the LA system. It has 2 subway lines, 3 light rail lines, and 1 elevated. So it's all part of the same system. But
my guess is from the ones that are above ground, you can hit a station, go down a stairwell, and get below ground, and then ride somewhere else.
A lot of them like Chicago's. Which is really fascinating because they all kind of converge on to one another from the outlying areas, which is really cool.
At some point in my life, I guess I'm gonna have to experience a subway because I have never, not once, ever.
Washington D.C. subway system is the cleanest.
Toronto's is lovely. I'm an expert. I can get you anywhere in the Paris one.
Really?
I didn't even get to the wrong places. Like I figured out the.
Is that French? Is that French? I need to know because I need to drink.
It's called Zimbetro. I figured it out in the 80s in a Burger King crown, and I mastered it again 20 years later.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
I enjoy that. That's fantastic.
And then I forgot about the districts and the zones and paying, and I didn't get off the train in Saint-Denis, and I went too far to the Arrondissement.
I don't know what it is. I hate subway systems or light rail systems or whatever where you have to figure out you pay for the distance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, can I just pay to get on? And
right, a pass just
so
for the
me
distance.
And a, me and me, a woman and her three children ran across the tracks and climbed over a fence to get out of paying the $22.50.
Wow.
We are being chased by the police.
Wait a minute. Out of that story, I got one thing.
That I climbed a fence.
Exactly. No, actually ran and climbed.
Yeah. And $22.50.
But there were children involved, too.
Were you running from the children?
No, we were running.
Was somebody holding a wine glass on the other side of his fence?
It wasn't until I got back to Renee that he told me what the fine. Because I was like, I don't know how big a fine. Is it be like $500? Like.
It was $22.
I'm like, oh, for the love of fuck. I climbed a fence for a
you
discount.
You got paid for all of them. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you better believe he would have thrown one of those children out in front of the cop to save his own hide.
What was I Googling?
Throw it at his head.
I don't know. What
Flat
were you
iron building?
We got past that.
We got that. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If I listen back to this. Well, how come last week's third hour isn't posted?
Because I haven't had time.
Oh.
It literally takes me 2 minutes to do the third hour. It takes me forever to do hours
one
and two.
In that case, Merry Christmas to our listeners as you're listening to
this. Happy Kwanzaa.
Hour three, because I don't do any synopsis to it. I just post it. It's up. So I can do that. This week has been crazy. It really has.
Nuts. So we have to have something fun to talk about. Let me see. I think I had one more thing on my list. And I don't think it was fun, though.
I don't have any. I didn't. I tried to come up with a good list.
The only kind of just off the topic of heavier stuff, Parenthood. Did anyone ever get into Parenthood, the TV show?
I tried for a couple of weeks, but yeah. I love me some, what's her name? The one that got left for cancer.
I
was all bought in. She was from Talk Radio, what was the name of that show? News Radio.
News Radio?
And then she went to
ER. Oh, yeah, Tierney.
Maura Tierney. Maura Tierney. Mm-hmm. And when she left, I just really couldn't get on board. I was all ready to buy in for her, and then I was like, all I saw was the empty space that she left.
She was on Parenthood?
She was supposed to be. She was in the pilot. And
got
then she
it.
Was
That's
diagnosed,
why I was like sitting
she
here
She was
going,
diagnosed
what
with
hell?
Breast cancer, and they had
oh,
to replace
I see.
Her at the last
okay.
minute.
Wait,
and
is she the dark-haired girl that was on News Radio?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, I haven't even thought
Nicely
of her until ever. Only because I love News Radio.
And you didn't watch ER.
ER.
Apparently.
She was on ER for years, and she was wonderful. Yeah. And
she was so underrated on ER.
Yeah, she was great.
Great actress.
ER is off the air.
as of last week. Yes.
Oh, good. Recent.
But that's been one of my favorites. But the two things, and I don't know if it's the older I get or what, but I watched The Voice last night. The Voice is back on.
I'm trying so hard to not watch that.
I won't. I don't care.
And I am not like a. Like, I'll watch American Idol, I think, only out of morbid curiosity. But The Voice, I seriously get very invested. And, like, I'll just sit there. And last night, I was just sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's the sweetest story. And I'm wiping tears. What the hell?
I think that the Voice is – because now I've watched it here and there. I think it's very slickly produced. Mm-hmm. And when it's time for those people to sing, they support them. American Idol.
That's the trend in these shows now. Sure. I think.
They're getting better and better because the year that David Hernandez was on,
right?
Because that was when they finally got the Beatles catalog.
Okay.
And they finally realized we make billions of dollars. Stop making them sing to karaoke.
Okay.
Right.
Stop doing it with a two-piece combo. Sure. But what they did is they went the wrong way, and they brought out this giant. Orchestra
that overpowered
this
people.
Big band, and the first girl came out to Earth, Wind, and Fire's version of "Got to Get You Into My Life," and they buried her under rubble. I mean, they just went, and she sucked. But I'm like, okay, Bette Midler doesn't tour with that big of an ensemble.
Right. Even and she has a big voice,
and it took her years to afford a brass section. Sure. And now you want this 20-year-old girl. Who's probably only ever sang with a high school band or at most. A four-piece band at a bar while I drool.
Sure.
And now you want her to compete with Earth, Wind, and Fire type horns?
Yeah.
And you're going to criticize? Fuck you!
Right.
And that's kind of when I started to be like, okay, this show's rigged. But then you go on The Voice, mm-hmm. they train these people, they choreograph them, and you've got Christina Aguilera, whatever you think about her.
Yep.
She's a showstopper. She knows how to put on a show
and
hit those stupid-ass notes that no one wants to hear.
Right.
CeeLo Green, Adam Levine, like, they're trained and they give them what they need and they rehearse them correctly. And I think they look way better.
Yeah.
They come across as...
Is this the third season of The Voice?
Yes.
But I watched the first season sort of like, I don't know, for a month, month and a half.
And if you can figure out the rules of that, and you can call me at home and explain them.
I didn't find the talent all that great. Okay. Maybe it's improved. But what I did read is that what they're doing now, and The Voice is going to have two seasons a year, everyone's going to sing every week.
Oh, right. Which now it's like you're like
because
4 or 5
weeks.
They
want to build a connection with these singers.
Right, with the singers.
You're like 4 or 5 weeks before you see the person sing.
And then you're like, oh, they're on here still? Yeah.
And no, I can't remember because, you know, I'm still, we're like 4 months, 3 months out. I'm still burning CDs. And I can't remember whose CD I was burning. And I was thinking about like, wow, the harmony behind that. Is just amazing. And it was that Chris Mann from last season, that opera guy.
Yeah.
He was like the big build backup singer for whoever it was. I'm like, these are not nobodies.
Right.
They're not pulling these people out of obscurity.
No,
they're not from like
and
the cornfields of Iowa.
They don't admit that. They don't say that. They're like, you know, the one who won last year was the backup singer for Alicia Keys.
Right.
You know?
And it just so happened
Jerome
and he was good.
He was fantastic, but he's like, I don't want to be a backup singer anymore.
Such plants. Like, the first episode of Glee, as I watched that with some friends, we rewound it, we watched it again, and at the end of it, I'm like, okay, first off, the girl, Lea Michele, way too good to be unknown.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to go into my iTunes and type in Lea Michele.
Oh, you didn't
and see
know
what
who
I
she
get.
Was?
We'll find her.
No, I had, no.
Oh, okay.
So, and then I'm like, okay, and the teacher. Because then the Friday, they did the director's cut.
Matthew Morris.
They did the really poorly edited, and then you realize why they took that away from him and did an edited version for the original airing. And then, because it was poorly edited.
Okay.
And the network came in and said, no, we're going to need to clean this up and get this down to 52 minutes, fuck you, or 43 minutes, whatever our shows are. Yeah. So I did was walk into my room, went into my iTunes, typed in Lea Michele, and I'm like, okay, I've seen her on Broadway twice.
Okay.
Like, this girl's not new. And then I typed in, Matthew Morrison, and I'm like, well, I've seen him on Broadway 3 times.
Sure.
But I just never put they weren't names that I knew. To me, they were just filler.
Right.
But I saw the original cast of Hairspray where he was Link Larkin and fantastic. Uh-huh. So I hiked to his voice constantly whenever I listened to Hair and Hairspray because my iPod makes them one CD.
Okay.
It thinks it's one, and I don't argue with it.
No. No. That's
but her, she, I mean, that voice of hers,
she
whether you like the show or not,
voice.
That girl.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Sure. But and that, emotes every single thing. Like, she just sells the shit out of everything.
But that's what, I mean, these are people, for me, that come on to The Voice that I don't know them. And then they tell their backstory, and they admit... You know, there was one guy on last night that kind of rock bandish, you know, rock lead singer, and you know he had been in a band. He was more of the backup singer, but they had sold you know X number of albums, not a ton. Then the lead singer leaves, and he has to step up, and he came out and was able to I don't know. He just sang really well, and it was like you know that they've been involved in the industry,
right.
but here they get this shot, and you see someone like Adam Levine. You know, get up. There was another guy, gay as Christmas, this guy was. But gets out there, and here he was there last year, and they're like, you're pitchy, and you're this, and you're that, and no. And all of a sudden, he comes back out, and when all the chairs turned around, not for him, there were two that turned around for him, and they were just like, oh my God, that's great. And when Adam Levine turned around and saw it was him, he dove out of his chair, ran up, and just grabbed this guy and hugged him, and said, I've been waiting since last year. I felt like I needed to hug you last year because, you know, you were so dejected, basically. And I've thought about you. And he's like, you remember me?
And Adam Levine was funny because he was like, I don't want to throw that pitchy word out like everybody else does. He goes, because I'm live and I'm pitchy all the time.
Right.
So guess what? If you're a live performer and you're not Donna Summer, you're going to be pitchy.
She doesn't perform as much lately.
No.
She's really not.
But I'm sure wherever she is that pitch is... Still the most perfect pitch
dead
in the world.
On.
Dead on.
No pun intended.
No.
But I always tell people, if you don't understand what pitch is, listen to a Donna Summer record
and you'll find out.
Hear somebody on perfect pitch.
Perfect pitch. Thank you for listening. It's hour 3. We are done. We're wrapping it up. Somebody needs to drink more.
Well, that went somber,
probably be
buddy,
me.
That's your fault.
How many times did I try to get away from that?
You couldn't, though.
We couldn't. And that's why I avoided it the entire rest of the time, because I knew we were going to get sucked into it. Thank you for listening. We're going to be back live next Tuesday night. We're live 7 to 9 on Q Talk America every Tuesday night. Thank you for listening. Otherwise, we'll see you on the download. Thank you. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona.